This is a session with Chad, recorded on May 28th, copyright 2011, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:16 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good day.
Hello, Ion.
Hey, number one.
Hey. Okay, I was running more calculations, and I've identified that it's in the very beginning stages where something's off in my inputting my sine and cos. So I'd like to go back to the beginning of that and get that cleared up. Okay. So when I'm plotting my points, my three values, then I justify my triangle to get A, and I get an angle for A. And then I do the same thing for B. And I get these three angle values, these degree values. The next
now, wait
step.
Wait a minute. Easy trigger. There's where you're off. You take and you make A a right triangle to get the angle, correct?
Yes.
You get B and you right justify the B to make it a right triangle, correct?
Yes.
You're subtracting then the difference between X and B, are you not? Because B would not be that angle, would it?
I'm subtracting, I'm going 180 minus B, because...
All right, are you subtracting in degrees or radians?
Degrees.
Okay. So then you shouldn't be off.
Right. So then the next part, when I have those, and then for C, I'm just going 180 degrees minus A's angle and minus B's angle.
Well, now, wait a second. That's like knowing that 1 plus 1 equals 2 and then 2 divided by 1 equals...
2.
Well, wait a minute. That's a different conversation. No. You need to actually plot your C. Don't just subtract C, because that'll gauge where your C, where your new X is. Which
right.
is what would move it off a bit.
Yeah, so I'm plotting C, and the degree, because there's 180 degrees in a triangle, when I get, let's say I get a degree, let's use actual value here. So
now,
if
wait
I'm
a
get,
second now. Slow down. You're all right. Just think
okay.
about this now. You got A. You right justify it to get the angle of A.
Yeah.
You get B, you right justify B to find out its angle, correct?
Yes.
You subtract the difference between the right justification and the actual value of B, correct?
Yes.
Good. Now, once you get that in play, then you would then know the distance. If you're going to subtract it that way, that's all right, but you're subtracting your value of B and then saying that it must be 180 degrees. And you no longer have a right triangle for C. Do you
see? Yeah, okay.
Right, that's right. And so that's why it would make your X, your new horizon, off by just a bit. Now, it should be a consistent it, but it's off by just that little dab because you're subtracting it as it is, and it's not necessarily exactly that way. Now, more times than not, you're going to be so close you won't notice, but what you've bumped into is how, Ion, I'm off by just a dab. I'm off by just a dab. Where am I missing that? That's where it is because it's not a right triangle, ABC. You're just justifying it as a right triangle to identify those individual angles.
Yes, however, if I have a degree value based on a right justification for A and a degree value based on a right justification of B, which is then adjusted, of course, because we're not using
B. Not, now it's no longer 180 degrees in a triangle.
Okay, so you're saying because it's not right angled, there's no longer 180 degrees in a triangle?
Well, calculate it from the position that you're trying to gauge. If it's an isosceles triangle, are there 180 degrees in an isosceles triangle?
There's always 180 degrees in a triangle, as far as I've learned.
Very
so,
good. Then you shouldn't be off.
Right. So then coming up with my angle for C, taking the degree value of A and the degree value of B, subtracted from 180 degrees, the leftover part should be the C angle.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Well, if every triangle has 180 degrees, then it must be.
Does every triangle have 180 degrees, Ion?
Not necessarily.
Oh. So if I was to go forth on that premise, which I have been going forth on, that 180 degrees is in every triangle, then that won't work every single time. Is that correct?
There you go. That's exactly right. So it will most of the time, but see, now you're back to horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah.
So now. Okay, if you have an inverted triangle.
Okay. So what? Explain an inverted triangle in this case.
Where your x then drops way below, your new horizon is way below.
Okay.
And you're pulling it from a tangent. Then you could have a triangle where the angle of C and C2, which are the same, would be off by the amount or the difference between where X and Y intersect in the original position and your B. It's the angles. You are more than likely exactly on point. However, it's not every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because simple plane geometry would say, okay, fine, but you're wanting to be to the thousandth of a point, correct?
Yeah.
If you were just at 180 or whole numbers, great, but that's not what you're working with. It's to
right.
the thousandth mark.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Ion, explain the method for calculating the angle of C in this case.
Okay. You subtract your amount, your degree of your right justification of B.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then use that to gauge your C angle. And then it should add up to the total angular representation. But you do them individually, not corporally. Because all C is doing, the minus sine, cosine of C, all that's doing is telling you where the new x-axis or horizon is.
Okay, so to get C's angle, would I take the right justified C angle of my A triangle and then minus the right justified C angle in my B?
Yeah,
sorry,
that would put you much, much, much more exactly precise.
Okay.
And see, in plane
yeah.
geometry, you don't have the ability or capacity to say that the angle is 37.0365 degrees, do you?
Not really, no.
Well, there you go. And yet you're expecting A2 on a new plottable point to tell you that the shift or the change in the differential price between A and A2 is 1.0121.
Mm-hmm.
See, so you're rounding it out to whole numbers and then extrapolating out to the thousandth decimal point.
Right.
Good. So if you play
okay.
with that exactly. Now, your lucky box are happy with that now. Your lucky box are happy with that because you've got the visual, number one. See, you got your visual together, so that'll help you. Then you can go to the point
right.
because there are percentages or decimals within confines of angular
Yeah.
So, but you're not including them. You're just rounding it up. And it's subtracting and saying that's what C is. And it's like, well, okay, but you're off. Your noticed tell is that you're off by a bit. Have you been consistently off or extraordinarily off?
extraordinarily.
Aha, uh-huh. So there's something afoot.
Okay. By consistently extraordinary.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay, has there been a set amount that you've been off by?
Yes.
Describe that.
Let me see here. So,
do you see, you know what we're doing to you, don't you? We're letting you show your work. And if you can show your work, and if you're always off by a dollar and a quarter, that ought to tell you something.
Yeah, this one is a lot more than a dollar and a quarter. 4.85.
That's all right.
Minus 6.6594. So this one, the actual value came in at $6.6594, and my triangulated value was $23.48554.
Track the difference.
Is $16.82614.
And your angle of the B calculated was?
Angle of B was...
...99.772
degrees.
Seems odd,
does it not? I don't know the oddness connected to the degree B angle.
Right, justified 90 from 90, and you subtracted the difference between the 90 and where B is, and that made it to 99, that should tell you the exact amount that you're off. Now, that's a bit theoretical. We'll give you that. So if you want to go back to whack on it again, then we may. But you see, now, okay, get one that you're much more close on and see where you are there. You see what's happening. You're going to get where you're way far off and what occurred. And when you're really close within, say, a hundredth of a penny off, then and look at the differential between those two, and that may be your tell.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Don't focus on how far you're off. Focus on when you were pretty close on.
Mm-hmm.
And notice that model, and then use that model for the extradited position that you're trying to justify. Because now think about this now. Think about it. Think about it this way. You're taking plane geometry,
mm-hmm.
which has its own set of damn rules and regulations. And then you're applying, a pinpoint-specific vibrational megahertz or hertz frequency of repetition within a sine and a cosine wave based on a predicated value of those degreed angles within its angular sine-cosine frequency. So the plotting of those waves becomes very key, and you're good at that because you know you get it. It ain't your first rodeo. You can handle it. All right? So if you're plotting that from that position and then now resounding a frequency within a plane geometry limitation, then you must be exactly or extraordinarily precise
mm-hmm.
in your calculation. Because remember, we did this in last session when we said, especially in your pulling your B4, A4 tangent, when
yep.
you make the triangular element larger,
mm-hmm.
what happens is that if you're a ship and you're in the ocean and you're off by half a degree, you end up in Chile.
Right.
Rather than
definitely seeing that now. That
good.
In the early, because I did sort of speed through in the beginning, and took a lot of things for granted that I had learned before, and now I'm reappraising them because that's where the drift began.
That, and see, the drift is what you're talking about here, and that's why we had great fun playing with those different tangible, is that a word? Where's Dr. Dean? It's another new word. From your tangents or their tangented positions, because the larger your scope, the more precise and accurate your point becomes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the issue is in the subtraction of your right justified triangle from your aspect of B seems to have a correlative effect on where C minus sine minus cosine is plotted for the new horizon for where you would gauge A2.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's your shift. And then if you want to go, number one, Chad, it's okay. You can do a what we call a stupid version of a really, really, really easy, okay, really, really easy. Let's say you're doing currencies and one of them ends up at 10, and let's say you had your B, which the currency was exactly equal. So it would be at a right triangle, okay? So if your B was at 0, 0, okay? That's very possible, is it not?
Sure.
Well, that's what you call a fucking perfect world, because then you created a right triangle. And if you find from that position and then work it from there, all of a sudden, if that works, then you know exactly how much you're off.
So, yeah,
if
I use that
plots,
as a reference.
Yeah. See, because then you've got a plotted triangulation from a 180-degree triangle, because you know a right triangle is 180 degrees.
Exactly. Okay.
And then you adjust.
Yeah. All right. So did you want me to give you that example of the one that was only a little bit off, or did we already get past that?
It's all right with us, baby. We with you, number one, any way you want to play. We already know, so it makes no difference to us.
Okay. This other one, the actual value ended up being $0.38572, and my triangulated value was only 0.01228 off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
Okay. Now, how close was your B to the X and Y 0, 0?
How close was B's value or the degree?
Both.
Okay. B's value was 0.888.
There you go. See how close it was? So the closer you were to that point put you closer to the A2 projection. And
the
when
close, wait a minute. The closer I was to B's point?
B at 0, 0.
Ah,
zero,
okay.
X, 0, Y. See, so there you go. Now you're getting something you can work with here. So the closer that it plots out to a right triangle, the closer you are to the accurate projection. But now, the only reason we're pointing this out this way, it's on purpose now. Now, stay with us here. The reason we're pointing it out exactly is because that'll validate your rules in plane geometry.
Okay.
All right? And so once you get close to that position, then you'll know. See, we could say if you knew that position, that positional place. Now, this is not what we're suggesting, but if you knew that positional place, then you'd know exactly how to rectify your calculations. Because you're not trying to see every single piece of triangulation. You're trying to get triangulation formula down just right and make your damn looky box do it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, we know. We get that. Yeah. But until you get the exact way of showing your work, if you're off by hair, you might be off by a mountain if you in the big scheme of what you call plane geometry.
Good. Okay.
See, there you go. Now you've got you've done it enough now that you've actually got a working position.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. Now I'll try using B, using a defunct currency for B. Is that, would that
Fine.
Work?
Certainly should.
Okay. Good. All right. So then when I have those, the angle of A, the angle of B, and the angle of C, the next thing that I'm not crystal clear on is what I'm going to be running in the sine function, whether it's going to be, see, there's either that, okay, so that degree value of A, let's say, does that translate into wavelength, or does that translate into, like, angular frequency?
Okay, now, go back now. Describe, you're asking about amplitude and period of frequency?
No. So when I get my degree, let's say that A is 60 degrees, okay?
Got it.
So now I'm going to plot the sine function of 60 degrees. Is that 60 degrees represented as a length of the period of the wave, or does that 60 degrees?
Not necessarily. You're in, you know you are in radians, and you want to be in degrees. And you say, no, Ion, I'm in degrees. And we say, okay, if you are in degrees, and you set up your line, your imaginary A line is 1 pi, 1 over pi, 2 over pi, 3 over pi, you know, from your period, then you would know how to plot that, would you not? From the frequency,
okay.
The period.
So, yeah.
You're asking the period, and we say, well, until you get your, each block is 1 pi, 2 pi, 3 pi, 4 pi, you wouldn't know either way until you set that.
Okay, so in the case of 60 degrees, that's, what is that, 3 over 2 pi?
Okay, and you're using pi as?
As the period.
Great, but pi means, what's your calculation for pi?
The calculator's value of pi.
Which is?
3.14 blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's your trouble. It's 3.1415926, and 6 keeps repeating. But if you get it to that far, you're going to be so close you won't notice. Now, pi is going to change. You know this. It's going to become 3.1415925, and that's, and of course that would end it. You got
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah.
But don't worry about that. Just note it. So when things shift a bit, you'll know that's your adjustable. Your adjustable. Is that the word? Yeah. Your adjustable position. But use it as 6 that repeats. But if you get it to that far, 3.1415926, you'll be so close on it you won't notice. Good. Now, that's your adjustable position. Now, you're asking about the amplitude or period of the peak and the trough, the distance.
Wait.
On the...
Okay, hold on. You're saying amplitude or period interchangeably. I don't know them to be the same.
Oh, okay. Describe it as you know it, and we'll help you.
Okay, normally when you're plotting megahertz frequencies, the amplitude, if you're using a regular one unit, let's say, it would be, the amplitude would be the height of the peak and the depth of the trough set
right.
to one above and one below.
Well, okay, and that's predicated on?
It's what you put at the beginning before the sine function to amplify the peak.
Well, that's what we're asking. They're certainly not always the same, are they?
The amplitude is not always the same, correct.
Well, you gauge the amplitude by?
A reference point.
Okay. That seems to be the issue then, doesn't it?
That's the thing I've been running into, is there seems to be no absolute reference point for the amplitude.
Well, then you need to calculate, you need to figure out how to plot a sine and a cosine wave from a formulary that works.
Well, that's what I'm asking, is the method
well,
to to apply the amplitude and the period along the lines of the triangulation we're using here to come up with the new horizon and the AU value.
Well, that's simple from a standpoint of that information is certainly easily available.
You mean on the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've looked at that, but there's a lot of different degrees of how to apply that.
Well,
so
pick the one pick one that gets your damn answer. You won't.
Okay. Yeah, there's a couple of different ones I'll try using my new B equals zero scenario.
But see, this isn't new and this isn't fancy. That's our kind of our point, is this isn't some magical something.
I want to go through and just make sure that at every point of what I'm doing, I'm not just carrying over old assumptions of trigonometry.
Right, that's very good. Because this is the first time that you've done this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the first time anyone has done it. Well, Bob's done it, but he doesn't remember what he's done, so.
Yeah.
Makes it real easy, doesn't it?
Yeah. So when I'm plotting the amplitude, so far I've been using, like, if it's A, for example, and A is 6.704, I make the amplitude of my A sine wave 6.704.
Okay, you feel good with that?
No, not 100%.
Okay, then get it 100%, and then you'll be correct, or you'll get your answer 100%. See, this is not difficult now. A sine wave is plottable. And you're saying there's multiple ways of doing it, and we go, oh. I mean, it's just a bit odd to us. Maybe there's different theory that you're applying that's kind of querying the deal here. But that's simple, just logarithmic function, isn't it?
Logarithmic? Well, I guess I don't know how to connect the amplitude and the frequency. I know how to run the frequency with just a one amplitude.
Then in school, if they said, okay, Chad, plot the sine wave of 50 degrees, you would set the amplitude in a specific way, would you not?
Yeah, I would set it to 1 because that's the unit circle is normally 1.
Okay. Then that ought to work, shouldn't it?
Right. However.
But what you're saying is, however, it's not hitting it every single time. And we go, aha, okay.
Yeah.
So then adjust it from there.
Because I want to know.
If you're off, see how far you're off. Because it works every single time without fail or exception. This is not that you have to gauge and change your formulary every single time you move through the process. You just got to get the process that applies to what you're trying to calculate.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, then it's rote or
right.
by rote.
And you're saying now along the x-axis over the period of time here that the if I made each one of those units a fraction of pi, that would be on the right track.
Well, no, that's where you, on your imaginary line, on your A, going directly from your A over to your B1A1 tangent.
Okay, yeah.
That magic little dot line, which is the center of the circular reference in degrees that you're going to plot the sine and the cosine wave regarding.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that would be your absolute radius. And if it is, then you should be able to calculate.
And on
sense?
The imaginary, if the imaginary line were an x-axis, the ticks on the x-axis, would they be fractions of pi radians?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Because that's your doppelganger right here, is setting what that consistent process is.
Yes, exactly. And knowing the point to put pi at, like, do I go out 10 boxes and then pi is there?
No, you'd gauge it. It'd be, you want to make it to where your first block is 1 over pi, your next block is 2 over pi, your next block is 3 over pi, out to ever how what your period is. How many blocks you have in total, in tandem.
Okay.
See, that's,
so.
That way you'll know how to gauge your empirical frequency or period, as it were. We use them interchangeable because in the proper reference, it is empirical. Regardless of how you apply it, it's the same.
Okay. So you're
that's
saying that,
point.
Right, when I calculate the degree value of A, that will tell me, obviously that will tell me my period length.
And when you got that, then you'll know exactly how to process it.
And would I set the end of my period at the B1A1 tangent?
No, it would end... It would end there.
Yeah, the period would end.
You don't have to go forward. Uh-huh. So, and now, well, actually, the period would continue, but the only ones you're interested in is the ones between your AB and B1A1. Or reversely, if you pull the B4A4, it would go in reverse to that point. Because, see, frequency carries on forward. As you pull
so would
your
I put
timing,
two? Would I put two... Would I put 2 pi radians at my B1A1 tangent so that I get a full cycle before my B1A1 tangent?
Well,
or sorry, not a full cycle because...
It wouldn't be a full cycle yet. It could be a full cycle, but it's
yeah,
not a full
yeah.
cycle yet. So,
but I guess what I've been looking for is the point to set pi radians at along the horizontal axis. And it sounds like it's to do it at the B1A1 tangent. 2 pi radians at the B1A1 tangent. Is that correct?
Try it. See how it works for you.
Well, that doesn't sound
off,
very promising.
You're off a bit. But it's okay because that doesn't mean that the empirical point that you're trying to get can't be achieved there. See?
Right, but I want it to work every
incorrect.
Single time.
Well, it will once you figure out the exact caliper that's your downfall. See? Once you set that exactness, then your lucky box will figure it for you. You're still doing the visual to make sure that what you're telling your lucky box to do is what you want done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and once you get there, then yes, indeed, it will work every single time. There'll be no exception. So, all right, so back to plotting a sine wave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got A in a straight line parallel to X, running across from the A point over to B1A1, that would be the absolute center of a cone. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And then you have plotted a sine wave. And a sine wave would begin at the A point.
Yes.
All right. Now, you have an up and a down, a peak and a trough. That's known, that's given, no problem. You got that. Okay, so now the thing that's hooking you is calculating the repetition, the frequency, the period, the repetition of, on the peak, it's over 1, up 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then that repeats over and over and over and over and over. Well, that repeating over and over and over and over and over is what's got you caught. Now, it will also transversely repeat in the trough, will it not?
Yes.
The same way, remember we talked about the slinky? If you stretch it way out, it's still a slinky, but the peaks and the troughs are closer to the original pinpoint center. And if they're all mashed together, they're full.
Oh, okay, so this is where the amplitude and the frequency become one.
Right.
Because if you stretch the slinky, the height between the peaks and the troughs will get closer together.
Closer together.
That's what I'm not
doing. If you mash them together, they come full, and you have many, 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 many more intersection points because the wavelength representation in the period is tighter.
Yeah.
Good. Now, there's the slip. between that and your actual right justification of B. Exactly.
Okay, so if my angle was zero, then that would be the slinky completely mashed together, right?
Okay, describe a triangle where one of the angles would be zero.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean zero degrees. I mean when B, in a 90 degree, not zero
okay.
degree, I'm sorry. Not
okay.
like when B is
see,
zero.
Yeah, because see, we were with you, we weren't going to tear it up, but we were like, okay, that's going to be an interesting looking triangle if you have one of the angles at zero. So it's like, okay, we're getting very linear here. All right, so at 90, go ahead.
Okay, so let's say my B is zero, and that gives me a 90-degree angle at B.
Yes.
Is that when the slinky is completely compressed?
If you looked at the cross-section of a slinky and compared to your X and Y axis in regard to the slinky, seems very logical, does it not?
Seems logical, yeah.
Good. Apply it.
And if it plies,
then guess what? You won't require vice grips or channel locks to make it righty-tighty or lefty-loosey.
Mm-hmm. So as the...
Think about it this way. Let's do it this way. Do you know bolts, all different types of threads on bolts?
Yeah.
And you know nuts. If you have the same nut, the male-female part of a nut and a bolt, if the threads are the same, it goes right on and spins down until it gets screws down until it gets to the end.
Yep.
Or oppositely off. Okay? So what your issue seems to be, now this is a visual, Chad, so we won't get you the visual, so you'll get it, so you'll go, oh, fuck yeah, exactly. It would be like taking a different size thread nut and being confused that it won't move easily on the threading of the bolts. If the center of that bolt is that imaginary dotted line going directly across from A over to B1, A1, parallel to your original x-axis.
Mm-hmm.
See, that thread being off, not only will it not work, you'll have to strip the threads to put it on. And you don't want that.
No.
Okay, you can do it, but you would basically re-thread it. The only reason that's an issue is because you're fixing to pull a sine wave, which would begin at -1 on the A point. So not only are you going to have one bolt, you're going to fix to run another bolt. So if they're not the same thread, they would be, but if they're not the same thread, you've cross-threaded the bolt to start with, and now you're adding another bolt to re-cross-thread that again. So your intersection points on the threads of your original bolt, there's no way you'd ever come to a laudable intersection point because you're screwing with your the intersection points from peak and trough of period. What are you calling that?
The intersection points from peak and trough to period.
I mean, well, the reason we're asking is we'll use your words, but we don't know what you mean, so we would know.
I've just been calling them intersections.
Fine. Okay, so the period or the frequency or the repetition of the wave, you're describing that as?
The frequency.
Okay, frequency. Then we'll use your same vernacular.
Okay.
But like you say on your internet, there's different things, call it different things. But frequency's all right, because frequency is how tight or loose the repetition of the sine and cosine wavelengths are. That's no problem. We'll stay with you, see? That's all right. But that's where your issue is that you're off a bit. If you're off at all, then, of course, the frequency is the least forgiving aspect of this program.
Right, and I want to just go back, and I did, when I said zero, when the angle is zero, the slinky would be completely compressed.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I might have been right the first time when I said that, because approaching zero, now I don't mean when it's absolute zero, but approaching zero, the slinky would be compressed.
That's correct.
Zero.
As far as a frequency, yes.
As a frequency, yes.
Yes. Because, see, if your repetition is at 0.00001 is frequency, you're exactly right. Every twist of that slinky would be layered right on top of the last.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have a vast number of intersection points with a sine wave with a frequency that's the same. Because the frequency won't change between a sine and a cosine wave, will it?
No.
Good. Because if you look at it like the cone, like the Christmas wrapping paper thing, cone, and you're running it inside of that cone, that's all you're talking about, is the circular twirl. Now, remember how we're playing the difference between radians and degrees. But once you get that, like we said originally, where you take the hula hoop and put a magic marker on it and roll it down a wall,
mm-hmm.
that'll set your waves, and that plots it. And that frequency then is set. But in this particular case, you get to plot where the frequency is set.
Okay, so then in the imaginary line from A over to the B1A1 tangent,
B1A1, yep.
Instead of using pi radians, that should be degrees. Each tick should be a degree value, correct?
Try it. You'll find that it'll be 1 over pi, 2 over pi, 3 over pi. Makes no difference, but if you shift it to radians, then you must make them all radians.
Since you're encouraging degrees so much,
yeah.
I've been leaving radians aside and using degrees as much as possible.
That's fine. But see, that may be your way of verifying period or frequency. So if you used radians to verify frequency and then converted that back to radians, no harm,
degrees.
No foul, would it?
Right.
See, that's a way of showing your work, that you know that for this period, the distance between A over B, AB tangent to B1A1 tangent, of exactly how many peaks and how many troughs would be included in that period. And if you used radians to verify that, we say no harm, no foul, but then you would bring it right back to degrees, once you confirm the frequency. See,
okay.
For us, that's the same as saying that's what you use to check your work. Because if it works in degrees, then it ought to work in radians. And
yes.
If it works in radians, then it must work in degrees.
Okay. Can you explain your preference in suggesting degrees over radians for the most
mm-hmm.
part?
Yes, because degrees are what you're working at from your angles. Degrees are an applier in plane geometry. Because in plane geometry, radians don't come into much of a play. Okay? And you remember you're taking a dimensional frequency, and you're applying it to a flat plane geometry retrospect.
Explain the dimensionality of the frequency.
Okay. Frequency is a cone or a tube that something is spinning, creating a flat representation of a frequency or a peak and trough wavelength. That is not flat, but you're plotting it as flat because you're embracing the false premise of time. And that's found within the period. And what we're saying is that time, because it's a false premise, if you apply a frequency to time, the frequency doesn't change. The period, or the distance between A and A in the B1A1 tangent, see, that's where you get your numbers that validate what it's the essence of making time tell. Because you're applying a frequency into a false premise of what we call plane geometry. You get that middle, that shifting?
The dimensional shifting? Do I get the dimensional shifting? Yeah.
That's fine. Because, see, all you're doing is you're erroneously plotting a sine cosine wave on a flat piece of paper.
Right. This is the dimensional shift is what I noticed in the angel diagram on Wednesday.
That's right.
When we started looking through the frame, that was the imaginary frame created
perfect.
Within the Escher, creating
perfect.
A rectangle with parallel
perfect.
Sides.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
And when you stand, if you back away from your screen a little bit and actually look at it, all of a sudden you're going, holy shit, there's a picture frame sort of sitting at an angle.
Yeah.
Even within the confines of the Escher, which if you looked at it from geometry, it can't be.
Okay, so geometry is flat, plane, on paper, or surfaces. That's what you're saying?
So is time, yes.
Okay.
And that's
so what do you
not
what
correct.
Do you call the, okay? So what do you call this? The non flat dimensional. You're calling that trigonometry, or are you calling that?
That would be trigonometry, yeah. Because see, you're taking a frequency which isn't flat, and you're juxtaposing a vibration in the form of a flat perspective, and it applies. So it will apply. You see, if you get real good at it, we could say take geometry and make it dimensional. Well, that's what happens when you get to the rhombic dodecahedron. That's when you take plane geometry and give it girth, breadth, width, and then you can apply it to trigonomics, and you'll see it just as clearly. But that's sort of the long way around the mountain. You gather. Do you not?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you'll get there. You'll get there. So then you won't have to futz with this all this trying to plot the flatness of a sine cosine wave, and you can add dimension to your triangle, which would then, of course, intersect in the multifaceted 3D, 4D aspect of sine cosine wavelength of frequency. And then your periods would also be opposed, well, validated from a not a flat plane. Good. So, yes, either way makes no difference to us. We were just taking you the easiest way first. Because once that becomes a sighted position, then all things, once you get it, then it'll verify front and back, back and forth, and over and under. Everything a rabbit can do to a stump. Because if you take that into a rhombic well, let's just say into your into a rhombic triangle, and you add another point in the triangle to give it girth. See, that would have.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we'd have a base of 3 points, and then another point vertical and connect
that's
them.
That's right. And those extra sets of triangulations or positional triangulated positions just give you much more to work with of validating the exactness of the intersection of a peak and a trough inside that not flat geometric shape.
It almost appears that molding or crafting three-dimensional objects in two-dimensional surfaces. Is that the case?
Yes, certainly.
So it almost takes the previously believed limitations of two dimension versus three dimension and sort of opens the two up to interplay between them.
Oh, see, now you're getting somewhere. Now you take that and apply your 14 degrees of freedom, and boy, you're wide open then. See, it really tears it up because now there's no dimension that adds any limitation. That's interesting.
Well, it's almost like there's no dimension. Like the word dimension changes its definition and becomes
absolutely
a different paradigm altogether.
Well, it includes all capacity.
It includes all 14 degrees of freedom?
It would.
So then, describe dimension in relation to the 14 degrees of freedom.
a preset limitation of a plane that is embraced, however incorrectly.
Okay, so what we call plane now, PPL,
will no longer be.
Is plane, is that the wall that you've been talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Now that's a stretch because you're right on. You're right on. But now, don't get too comfortable with that because that'll shift now. You know well, this ain't your first rodeo. You know well that once you get comfortable in that, it'll shift. But you're way ahead of the game at this point from
yeah.
this position, you see.
Yeah. I know now when I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well, no, but that's not a problem, though, see. That's not a problem because you never stop. You never get stuck there. So if you never stop and you never get stuck there, it's not a problem. It's just your shifting position. You continually keep
mm-hmm.
shifting the landscape, or some might call it your horizon. Then you, based on what you know now, that's all that's happening is you're recalibrating your X-axis.
Okay. And speaking of the X-axis, one of the things I've noticed in running triangulations
yeah.
is that a lot of times I'm getting no X intersections within the triangle, and we talked about how to deal with that last week.
Yes.
In the case of X not having any intersections within the triangle, is that...
Describing X, you mean your minus sine cosine of C?
Yes, exactly. On the ones running on the x-axis backwards, those don't have intersections within the triangle.
At all? Like,
at all.
Peak or trough?
Peak or trough. So
good.
That will... Looks like that's going to be cleared up with what I just got today about the spring and connecting amplitude and frequency.
Yes, it would. Because it can happen. That's why we add all three different ways to see it, because we want it to apply every single time. But you'll find it odd. More times than not, what you should find is that the peaks of your minus sine cosine of the value of C,
mm-hmm.
the peaks should hit more inside the triangle than any other scenario. Now, the others are certainly capacity. You have the capacity. But more times than not, what you should be finding is that the peaks intersect more than the troughs.
And the troughs wouldn't really have intersections unless my B value is negative, right?
Well, it could. No, it could. It just depends. See, it depends. Because you're running this from C. If it's very, very tight, it could hit within that schedule painless.
Well, it doesn't appear that way.
Well, then, no, it's all right, But typically, more times than not, it would be the peaks that would be the criterion for what your new x-axis would be, more times than not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going it that way, and if it's not hitting that, then look more closely at that as well, because that may be where you're a bit awry. But that'll help you with when you start doing your frequency, see? That'll help the tightness or the stretched outness
yeah.
of your minus sine, minus cosine wave of C.
Okay, so if we're looking at, we're using the x-axis is the middle point, the absolute middle point of the tube for the negative sine and cosine.
Yes.
The troughs are always going to be below the x-axis. They're not going to be above the x-axis where they could hit within the triangle.
Well, because you're not speaking about the troughs, you're talking about the intersection points.
In the peaks, yeah.
Well, all right, but see,
the peak, yeah, no, the what I'm saying is the peaks, of course, there's going to be intersections within the triangle for the peaks, okay?
And you very likely could in the troughs as well.
That's where I don't agree.
Okay. Well, once you play with it, because there's nothing, there is absolutely, it's not odd to have a minus value for B.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I said earlier, is when the intersections within the triangle wouldn't occur unless, the intersections within the triangle for the troughs of negative sine and cosine would not occur unless B's value is negative. Do you concur with that?
That's perfectly fine. Yes, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. But do not limit it to that. You don't use that as your rule. Use that as an example, but not as a rule.
Well, I'm only asking to get the visual, not necessarily to create a permanent rule.
Good. And the frequency of your minus sine cosine wave has more to do with those intersection points.
Has more to do with the intersection points than which?
Than whether B is minus value or not.
Okay.
But the lion's share of time would have the peaks setting your new X value.
Okay.
But see, you could, just as sure as we say that, then you'll have a distance where the A2 value is $100, and then you find that your X value drops $50. So your new X would go down $50.
Exactly.
So sure as we say, yeah, you're on it, you will come up with a pinpoint or triangulated position that would defeat that. So that's why empirically, if you get these little bitty things and it's working almost every single time, then you adjust and perfect it to get it exactly. And then
it will work. What I've noticed, Ion, is that when we're discussing this and you say, you know, here's the case and it won't be like that every single time, it seems like when I get off the phone and I go and try the new thing, it seems like immediately I run into the case where it doesn't apply.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what we just said. That's exactly correct. But so you're perfecting, what you're doing is you're perfecting your creation, which is the essence of making time tell. Because now think about this. People have been running on, well, let's ask it this way. This may be a Bob thing. Hey, Bob, he knows everything about everything. Hey, Bob, he knows more than everybody. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, I know everything.
Bob.
Yeah,
Bob.
I'm here. I know everything. I got it. I got a case.
So tell Chad when time started.
A couple days before I showed up.
Okay, no.
Oh, no, not that answer? Oh, wrong answer. Okay. it started in October 8th, 69, when I think that was the date. I was given my fucking amulet by Cosmic Awareness and said it was time and eternity, so I figured I had something to do with it.
Great, you do. Well, that's not what we're asking.
Yeah, I do. Hear that, Chad? Yeah, you do.
We're asking, what does history say was the beginning of time?
Well, it's different schools of thought. My chart explores it, but should we go with the printing press? We'll go with the printing press.
Fine. But you see, they created this false premise called time, Chad. All right, great. And they force you to comply with it. Everybody has the same amount of it, but some people get more done than others. Some people get less done than with others. Some people are happy in their time, or they have a happy time, and some people are sad, and they have a sad time. And blah, 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 blah. And then you have Greenwich Mean Time, and then you got time zones, and then you got the years that don't add up to a damn year. Otherwise, if it was such a good idea, they could work it out without leap year.
Mm-hmm.
But every 4 years, you got to reset the damn thing because it's off. Okay?
Yeah.
Every day lasts the same amount. Well, no, it doesn't. Days get shorter, days get longer. Well, now you can't even gauge how long a day is. Okay, well, a day's 24 hours. Nope, day's not 24 hours. See, every step of the way that you've embracing this, it's off. And so we were trying to get Bob to say exactly when they begun with this counting business.
To show the absurdity of it?
Well, that you're having to gauge and overcome this calculation of time when it's so ridiculous, it's kind of pointless. However, the point of vibration in a period or its frequency has nothing to do with time. So therefore, if you set the period, the distance between A, B, and B1, A1, when you set that difference, then you can tell exactly where that vibration applies within that period that you set. Okay? So if that's the case, then you are just basically making time tell.
Yeah, and like I said, what I'm noticing is every time I get a new set of constructs to apply, I'm noticing faster and faster now I'm confronted with the exception right away, the exceptional case.
Good. No, it's wonderful, because the exceptional case, once you placate each layer of the exceptional case, then look what happens. There are no exceptions.
Oh, right. Right.
Then it works every single time without fail or exception, because that application is the very thing that made time a false premise in the first place.
So this is a lot like the process of programming, where you,
exactly,
write your,
like,
you write your crude program, and then you'll get an exception when you enter something that doesn't fit into it, and then you apply that fail, that exception. Yeah.
Well, except in Vista. They still haven't figured that one out yet, have they?
No.
And they're still trying to sell the shit out of that crap that nobody's buying, aren't they?
Right.
So, good. So, that's the tale that lets you know. Good. All right, now, from the abstract, is anything else you're left out, you're out of there with, or... Where,
well, the other abstract I'm chewing on is the 14 degrees of freedom in relation to the triangulation here on the flat plane.
Good. Take the triangle and move it 14, apply a triangle and give it 14 degrees of freedom and see that.
Okay.
Could you write a program to say, make this pitch, twirl, swing, up, down, over, under, blah, 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 and see what that looks like?
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that help you in the constraints of 14 degrees of freedom, since you're not sure what that is?
Yeah. And
okay.
See, I was, you're right. Yeah, you're right. You said I was too visually biased to see the 14 degrees of freedom before, and now I know precisely the miscitedness of it was because I was seeing the regular XYZ axis and then just adding a bunch more of those axes.
Correct.
To create 14.
And you could work with that if you didn't apply the bias. But if you apply the bias, then those axes become limitations, not degrees of freedom.
Yeah, so it's not that they're just adding a bunch more of those visual axes. It's that they're different characters or different qualities of motion.
Well, and once you get that, then dimensional travel should be a piece of cake, should it not? And what's so hysterical for us is that you have no trouble going to another world. Well, that certainly would be a degree of freedom, don't you think?
14th.
You're able to do that without batting a damn eye. But then
would that be the 14th degree of freedom that we had 13 of? Jump?
It
or
would. Well,
portal?
Nope, call it Segway.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the only thing that applies.
Okay.
But even in Segway, it doesn't affect frequency.
Segway doesn't affect frequency?
Nope, most certainly does not.
Because it jumps to a different frequency?
No, it jumps to a different dimension or a degree of freedom, but does not have any outcome on frequency.
Okay, so a segue would be a change from one degree of freedom to a different one?
The final one, the 14th, yes.
Okay, segue would be shifting from any of the other degrees of freedom to segue.
Correct.
That seems a bit self-referential.
Well, but it isn't, because each of those 14 degrees of freedom would be represent in all of them. However, none of them would have an outcome or shifting change on frequency. So if you go to another world and you're at a certain frequency in that other world, it's going to be a degree of freedom, but you'll still have maintain the same frequency.
So if I was in one world and I pitched, I would still be within the same world?
Yeah, but you did that. You were where you were. And you got to remember, now you were where you were. Now let's bring it back home to you, because you know you. Well, you think you do. Well, you sort of do. Well, mostly. Well, nah, never mind. Okay. You are where you are. Got it.
Yeah.
And you listened to us, and you were very literal.
Mm-hmm.
We said, fuck, quit your job, go fight, go play, travel. And you did. Of course, it made JW just cringe because he was like, oh, Ion, what are you doing? But it made no difference. You took it literally. It worked out just fine. But you found that your frequency from where you were to your frequency in another world didn't change.
And
your
that's,
frequency
you take, your,
didn't
take yourself
change.
With you everywhere you go.
There you go. And so then what happened is you made some shifts and some adjustments in those worlds. Rightly, no problem. But then when you came back to this world, all of a sudden you found a different frequency.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But that shift didn't happen in this world. That shift took place in another world.
The pitch took place in another world?
The shift.
Shift of pitch or just shift?
Shift of frequency. One included a fucking bunny rabbit, and one doesn't.
So the pitch is not the shift?
Not always. You got the bunny rabbit reference, didn't you?
Yeah, I get that.
Good. Well, then there, you get that. Well, that's a shift, but that's a shift, but it actually changed frequency for you. In another world. And then when you came back to this world, that changed frequency remained changed. No problem.
So you can set the frequency in another world, shift.
Yep.
Come back to this world with the
this
frequency
dimension.
That was, this dimension with the
and,
be on the
and
frequency.
And enjoy the new frequency.
So you don't have to
now,
change the frequency within a specific dimension to change
well,
the frequency within that dimension.
That's right, but specific dimension, what you find out real quick, has nothing to do with anything. Here's an example.
Yeah.
Let's say you got 4,000 boxcar loads of copper. Okay? And copper ain't selling for shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
You go to another world and you find out that copper is the most valuable thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You shift to that frequency. You come back to this world and all of a sudden they used to price your copper by the ton and now they're pricing your copper by the pound.
So when I was in Ireland, let's say, and I noticed the demand for app programmers in that
mm-hmm.
world. And then all I did was notice it. I didn't go looking for it.
You didn't even activate it. You just said, well, that's queer, you know.
Yeah, and then I came back here and started getting phone calls to be an app developer, even though I didn't know I could do it. Is that an example?
That's a perfect example.
Okay.
That you embrace that shift. You don't have to. You can push against it, and you can get you lots of handkerchiefs and cry.
Right. I'm starting to notice that pushing against it becomes more of an effort than just letting it flow.
That's right.
So it's like
and
letting
so
it
far,
flow and happen.
And so far for you, that is absolutely the fastest path to your joy.
Yeah.
Because rather than change someone to be who you would prefer, if you let it go, you find they shift to what you prefer.
Okay, so pushing against would be like putting the brakes on, correct?
Or slamming the gas and hitting a speed bump. Both apply.
Okay, so it would be any drastic jump in frequency or change
in? We don't
in
make
frequency?
A drastic jump in frequency. That's sort of the tale. The only time it becomes drastic is from your perspective. See, you can go from 0 to 1,000,000 miles a second instantly until it's against the rules to do that. And if it's against the rules to do that, then you're like, wait, what the fuck? This is going way damn fast.
Okay, so if someone wanted to get...
And now I'm flying.
Right, so I could go stay in... some billionaire hotel suite and spend the weekend there and notice what life is like for a billionaire lifestyle and then come back
and
to the
if
world.
You, and as you embrace that billionaire status frequency, then that becomes one you can embrace. And you can come back here and go, well, this is what the billionaire frequency is. I'll go with that. And then it is. No issue, no problem.
Right.
See, that's what it's even changed Angela's position on the noid or the void or whatever she calls it. See, that's even allowed her to shift that.
What do you say that has changed? That has
your knowing of what we've just described allowed her to shift her knowing regarding the void.
Oh, I see.
You see, because that's very different now than it was a bit ago, is it not?
Yeah.
Well, you listen to it. We don't.
Yeah, it has shifted.
Well, exactly, and deliciously, because she doesn't get stuck there. She flows with it. It's great fun. She knows what she knows, and then she knows she doesn't know what she knows. And when she doesn't know what she knows, then she comes to a new place of knowing. Well, when she gets to the new place of knowing, then what she knew that she knew, she now knows that she didn't know. Or the part that she knew she couldn't embrace and shifted the vibration so it became to a new positional position. Well, once you justify that new judicial position, then your perspective of your horizon of the x-axis has shifted imperviously to your surroundings and environment. So then what you had as a less than place of I'm screwed turns into your absolute best thing going, couldn't make it another day without this little tidbit of knowing. Then all of a sudden, everything that would come against you or push against you or put you in a less than place, but your curse then turns directly into your blessing. And your blessing turns into, it's like, man, this is great. Money for nothing and the chicks are free. I can work with this.
Yeah.
And so it is. And so once you get triangulation down just perfect, then you'll figure out how to shift the triangle.
Okay.
It's getting fun because for the first time your analytical view is going to shift or change or enhance your ability to make time tell.
Okay, one last question.
Of course.
When about a year and a couple months ago when we were talking about the legend for parallel world traveling.
Yes.
Is this triangulation the same process, or is that something unique?
Nope. It's the
same thing. Okay. Interesting.
And applies precipitously. But now, don't get caught in the peripheral. Bob talks about doing it from the rear view mirror. Okay? If you're doing it from the rear view mirror, okay. But see, say hindsight's 20/20, and we say not so much.
Well, no, I don't mean so that I can go apply what was discussed last year. I mean,
but
it's interesting that it evolved
to
that.
No, really, you can. It's no problem. It's no problem. You certainly may. Yeah.
I don't know. This seems to be a more efficient way to approach it.
Fine. You are right. But it's no problem. No problem. We're with you. There's no issue. No issue.
Cool. Okay.
Very, very, very fun.
Okay, hold it. Hey, so Chad, look at the email I sent you.
Okay. Box.
Right. So click on that and look at it. There's a song that just begins and then gets into the diagram.
It's a Beach Boys song. Boys song.
Yeah. Okay, so let me get there. You see, where is it? You see the little box forming?
Yep, within the circle.
Yeah, ask Ion if that's the imaginary box that we form with the AB and then the B1A1.
Ion, the rectangle that's formed by going around a unit circle, is that the imaginary box from A to B1A1 and B to B1A1?
Not necessarily, but it certainly can.
Okay, would the application of it certainly can help me from the position I'm in right now with triangulating, or is that...
It could. Describe how many angles are in a square.
4.
And the value of those angles would be...
90 each.
So the total would be...
360.
So 360 would be the representation in degrees with what you're applying to your place of knowing, is it not? Isn't it interesting that a flat geometrical figure includes all vibration?
Yeah.
So if you go, if you can go at it that way, great.
Okay.
If you get anywhere off of that, it'll end in tears.
All right.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, all in, all good, all done?
Yes, and thank you.
You're so very, very welcome. Therefore, we are totally delicious.